Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. And maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry I was blind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind.
Live from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
And we're going to take your phone calls now, your questions for our guests, the authors of a remarkable book called The Gift, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with our two guests, Michael Schmicker and Dr. Sally Rhine-Feather. And we are talking, of course, about ESP, and we're going to take your phone calls and your stories as well. I did want to check in with you both, Michael and Sally, when you were talking about the next story, the next book on the ability for people to move objects. What about objects that disappear and then reappear? Have you ever heard about that? You know, somebody will come home, put their keys on the table, go back, get the keys, they're gone, and then find them on another table. How does that happen?
Well, given the name of Apport, that's what it's called, but that's a good question. Is it some sort of a macro PK? The mind is somehow moving these objects. It just remains in the realm of anecdotal at this point in time. I don't know of any research that's... It's pretty difficult to research things when they're spontaneous like this. Mike, do you have any ideas?
I think there's a couple of major things in Best Evidence, the first book I wrote. There was the Skoll experiments in England, S-C-O-L-E, that looked a lot at apports, George, and they had things where they would things would appear and reappear. They would have film that was exposed inside a locked box. Things would drop out of thin air and things like that. And also I was researching another book on a woman, an Italian woman in the 1890s, and she consistently made things appear in the air and then disappear, including in front of the famous Nobel Prize winner Charles Richer in France. So I think there's some very good anecdotal evidence that's real. How it happens, why it happens, boy, I don't know.
I was talking to a friend yesterday who was telling me when he was a child, he would be petrified of his closet, and he would go to bed always thinking that there was some kind of being in his closet. So just before he dozed off, he would look at his closet door, which was one of those sliding closet doors, and he said it would open up all the time. Now, up until this moment when I was talking to both of you, I'm saying to myself, man, he must have had some entity in that closet or something. Now I'm beginning to wonder if he manifested this himself with the power of his own mind. Isn't that possible?
Yeah, that's what we're really interested in finding out. We think that poltergeist, and you've heard that expression of where things happen in the home of usually a troubled adolescent, things fall, things are thrown that don't appear to be due to deception or fraud. in those cases, we think it's just what we call macro PK, as if somehow the human mind can unwittingly and maybe unwillingly have some effect like this.
A friend of mine, by the way, wrote the script Poltergeist for Steven Spielberg, Mark Victor, and I'm going to get him on the show because he's got some great stories about what happened when they were doing that movie. And I do. I think the mind has an ability to either tune in, manifest, or even pull in things. You know, if you believe in, let's say, life from outer space, and all of a sudden you think we've been visited, maybe you are the one who transmitted some kind of message to them to come here. You know, the mind does some incredible things. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up, first of all, by going to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Tim. I'm calling from Logan, Utah. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Tim. Thanks.
I love your show. Anyway, first of all, I got a question for Michael, but real quick, I want to tell you, the tornado thing that you keep talking about, I see three tornadoes coming down, individual tornadoes combining into one tornado, getting larger and larger and larger to where they're going to make a new classification and call it an F6, and it's going to go through a major Texas city.
That's interesting. All right, well, we'll think about that. Go ahead, Michael.
Anyway, Michael, I live by a big fault here, Wasatch Fault. Every time I drive over it, I feel like somebody's kicked me in the guts, and I start getting a rocking sensation. Do you think that this is some kind of a ESP thing, or it happens every time?
Every time you go over the fault, you get this feeling.
It's just like I've been kicked in the stomach. It's almost like I just got sick real quick, and it's nauseated, but it goes away quick, rapidly.
And this is the only place that you get this feeling, or?
The only place.
Can I answer that one?
Sure.
Yeah.
We had a discussion today about the relationship of geomagnetism and psychic ability, and there is some good evidence that there is the connection of forces of this sort, and geomagnetism, I understand, is not terribly well understood by a geologist, but that we do think that that affects some aspects of the internal of the brain of people, and many of the phenomena. I mean, this is on the edge of the paranormal. We may be talking about new energies of the physical type that we don't understand. I expect there's some interaction there. And faults in the earth were mentioned as because they have a unusual pattern of that sort. I certainly am not expert enough to go any further. That would make another topic.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being part of the program. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Good.
Yeah. My name's Kerry. I'm calling from Tucson. I had a question for you, George, and then if I could, a question for Michael.
All right.
First of all, on the test, I only did the last one where there was 10, and I got 4 right like you did. I got the first 2. And then 8 and 9. I was wondering which ones you got right.
I don't have the list with me. I just put it down in the office. But it was scattered over the 10. I got.
It's kind of weird because I got the first 2, and then way down 8 and 9, I got the last 2 there. And...
Well, I know I got the second one right, and I should have gotten the first one right, but I changed that. And then, like you, I got the latter ones right.
Well, that fits also with things we've learned in the laboratory called the U-curve or a decline effect. But the first and the last, when you know the beginning and you know what's the end, very, very common.
Mm.
I always said it's how you finish the race that counts.
And then question for Michael. What website could I go to take more tests like this? Because I'm really into this now.
Sally, I think you were going to say, in fact, the Ryan Research website has not only what you can do is you can get at the www.rhine, R-H-I-N-E, .org. If you go up on that website, you'll find out a tremendous amount. We're barely touching this subject tonight, but you'll find a tremendous amount of information. You'll also find that you can purchase from there a set of these cards we use tonight, the ESP cards, and it also has a lot of papers that if you're really serious about this, and I encourage you to read start reading like the Journal of Parapsychology and some of the papers, because they've done a tremendous amount on there. But I would say that's the site to go to. Sally?
We wish we had some online tests. At the moment, we don't carry that. We hope to have that before long. It is nice, and you can test yourself online. And there, also check the Parapsychology Association website. That's our trade organization of international parapsychologists. And there, you may find through some of these links, you will find some online tests.
Sally, the test that Michael gave us tonight, is that the same one that your father used to give?
That's exactly the kind of card test that he began using with the Duke students 75 years ago.
Did he ever have anybody who got all 25 right?
Yes, he did. This same fellow, Hubert Pierce, who was a graduate student of theology, I believe, at Duke, once got all of them right. I once saw somebody get 24 out of 25 correct, but it wasn't under conditions that were strong enough that I could publish it. But I saw it. Once you see that, that's like a miracle.
Maybe I'll tell that story, Sally.
Okay, I was in a one-room schoolhouse in Wisconsin, no, Menominee, Wisconsin, in 1952 or 3. I was a young, just out of college myself, and there was a woman that was reporting some remarkable things with her children in her school. She was a teacher, they still had one-room schoolhouses. So I went up there to investigate, and I watched this little girl. She was like in a trance. Her teacher, she was very, very close to her teacher, very, very bonded to that teacher. And she sat and pointed to one of these symbols we just looked at, the star cross, wavy lines, while her teacher did just what Mike did and looked at the card and sent it to her. She missed the first one. She got all the next ones of the whole deck, 25, 24 in a row, correct. I was in a state of shock.
I bet you were. That is a great story. First time caller line. Hello there.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, and where are you?
Me. I'm out here in Knoxville, Tennessee, running the paper route.
Well, okay. Yeah, during your tossing of the papers, go ahead with your question.
During the tossing of my papers. Okay. My question is, have they done any research and studies into the ESP, like in the Mayan and ancient civilizations? And I have a weird thing. I did the test while driving around. I hit all the squares. And somebody was thinking about a triangle down around 22. And before I finished the 10, I wound up doing a little swap line between the wavy lines and the cross. And I kept getting the crosses confused with the stars. Is that common?
Boy, Sally, it's all yours.
Well, the ancient civilization one is, I'm not a real expert on all this, obviously. I haven't been in this field completely for all my life, and I don't know much. I know currently they're looking at some of the ancient sites in England and in Egypt to see if there's something unusual about the way they're made that may be affecting people. We think, as I indicated earlier, that some of these geomagnetism and some of the electrical properties may actually facilitate ESP. So they're looking at the way they've been built. But I can't, I just say, would you check some of the websites and ask those questions?
Okay. I would also mention that, in fact, I don't think scientific testing has been done a lot. I saw none in Asia, at least when I was there. I think scientific testing is a pretty modern phenomenon.
Whoop, where do you go? Okay, go ahead.
That's all. Just that's a modern phenomenon for scientific testing.
Is the research center still testing people on a regular basis or just collecting stories now?
Well, we're doing both. We don't have as large a lab as we did in my dad's day. Funding is very, very difficult, and we'd like to do more. We are doing a telepathy research now, and that's ongoing. And we've just finished a healing study recently. But as you say, the case studies are going on.
Back to children for a moment. Have they taken this card test that we took tonight?
Oh, yes. My mother did the first ESP study of children in 1937 around the kitchen. Actually, it was published in 1937 around the kitchen table. In those days, you could do good research if you were you knew what to do. And she tested all the children in the neighborhood. But it continued under, and recently would we be using other methods besides these card tests, but using computer games, for instance.
Was she testing children long before your father began to test people?
Oh, no, no, no. They were working together as a team.
They were doing it together. Okay.
Absolutely. She had to stay home to raise kids, as women in those days did, and so she wasn't going to be left out, though. She wanted to do some work, so she just fitted into her regular routine.
Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. You're on. Hello.
Good evening, George. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
This is Mike in Clearwater, Florida. I have a question. I took the test, and I was able to get six of them right. Does this concept fall along the lines of, I've had several instances where, for example, I've been in a casino, and you sit there and you play blackjack, and I'll get a feeling of what the next card is going to be before the dealer flips it over, and then sure enough, I've had instances where I thought to myself, that's going to be a seven, and sure enough, the seven comes up. Have the guests had any idea on if that's the same concept? And then, assuming that it is, if it can be honed, I can imagine someone can use that to make a lot of money for themselves, I'm thinking.
Well, and before they answer that, let me ask you this, if I can, Mike.
Okay.
Mike from Clearwater. Do you also get that feeling that you know the dealer's going to flip an ace or get a blackjack, and they always do?
I've had times where I knew exactly what the dealer was going to deal me. Like, I'll say, I'm going to get an 8 and a 6, and sure enough, I got the 8 and the 6, which is 14. And then another time I was at a dice table playing craps, and I could get a feel for what was going to be rolled before it was even rolled. So I'm just wondering if it's the same type of thing. And can it be honed to be used to a person's advantage, basically?
Well, and actually, too, Sally and Michael, which one wants to take this? In your test, for example, you had already flipped the cards over, and I basically was doing remote viewing to see if I could see that. In this particular instant, he was looking and really projecting what the card was going to be. Can he get better doing this?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I think he can if he's very sensitive to his own inner workings. So some people can and some people can't. He probably can't get 100% at it. Nobody, I've known nobody to be about 100%. He was doing precognition, probably, and that's very, very common, has been tested the same way as we essentially did it with you earlier, except that we shuffled the cards after you made the guesses.
We're taking you to Vegas, Mike.
Well, the thing is, it's more of a feel. It's hard to explain. It's not that I'm projecting it. It's an actual feeling that'll come over me. It's something
right.
That'll.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely. Write it down, describe it, and mail it to me.
Okay.
Let me ask you, Mike. Do you win most of the time?
What she said is correct. It's not 100% of the time, but when I have used it, yes, I have won quite a bit of money, as a matter of fact. So
interesting.
That's why I was saying if it can be honed, and it could probably be even used for, if you want to take it one step ahead, for like the stock market. You know, if a person is
absolutely in
tune, you know, they can make a lot of money for themselves. So that's what I was wondering, basically.
Okay. And what about lottery numbers, Sally or Michael? Do people play around with the lottery because of this?
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. George, we have a couple of cases of people, you know, using their intuition to win a lottery ticket. Not a lot of them. I think Sally mentioned once that she said one of the tests for reality in ESP is if you say you're winning all the time, you're lying. Because I'm not saying that this man is. What I'm saying is that nobody can. That I don't think anybody, Sally, right? They've ever found anybody that can consistently all the time.
No, the disability is not yet that controlled. We don't know yet how that well.
But within that field, yes, there's probably people that are very good, that very sensitive, that know their inner workings, as Sally said, that maybe that, again, all those factors that they've tested in the laboratory, that they believe, believers, they maybe meditate. There's a whole range of things. Artistic, creative people tend to be better at this. All of those things can help you. I think in tests they've shown, on average, they can help you improve your performance. But some people are just flat-out superstars, and he may be one of them. Mm-hmm.
Do you think the ancients had this power, this gift?
I think this is a human ability that maybe they had it even stronger. Maybe we have, with our frontal lobes, have perhaps squelched our basic psi ability. But that's an interesting question. Is it increasing or is it decreasing with humans as they develop?
All right, stay with us. We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls and the rest of your stories right here on Coast to Coast AM. And if you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And, of course, a couple websites here we're talking about that are linked up at coasttocoastam.com for our guest tonight. But just remember this, www.rhine.org. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with Streamlink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
On our next Coast to Coast program, our very special guest will be Charles Kalum. He is a friend of the late Father Malachi Martin. We'll be talking with him about the supernatural, including angels, ghosts, demons, witchcraft, and UFOs. And then on Friday, of course, it's Friday the 13th, a special line will be open for you. Guess what that's going to be? But that'll be a night of open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest Michael Schmicker and Dr. Sally Ryan Feather. Hey, I noticed that great comments by a guest of Coast to Coast and obviously a friend of yours, Jeffrey Mishlov, commenting on your book and your story. And he says that the gift speaks directly to the needs of millions of people who are concerned with the personal meaning of their ESP experiences. Do you find that more and more people are beginning to tap into this intuition, whatever it may be, in order to get them through their day-to-day lives? How about you, Michael?
Yes, Sally? Okay. Michael, you want to take that one?
Okay, yeah. One thing is clear, George, that if you look at the Gallup polls for the last 10 years, people, the belief in ESP is going up, belief in the paranormal is going up. So I think there's something really happening out there. I think two nights ago you were talking about this, that one of your guests was talking about it. I was listening on the show. And there is, I think there's a sense that people are definitely interested in and actively working at to try and get in touch with their intuitive side. Yes, I think it's very, very clear. It's happening.
Let's go back to the phones. We'll pick it up, first of all, by going to our first-time caller line. You're on with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Pam.
Hello, Pam.
Hi, Pam.
And I'm calling from Everett, Washington. I'm a first-time caller, and I love your show, George.
Well, thank you.
I'm calling because I've had some luck with your number 8, and I had 17 out of 25.
Wow.
And I'm in the process of having, you know, I'm looking for a new job, and I just feel like I'm ready for it. And I just, with all this intuitive process, I'm really scared, and I'm really concerned, and I believe wholeheartedly, I've had a lot of premonitions in my life, and I've always gone along with what I feel is right and what I think is right. And I just wonder how this ties in.
Well, if you've got 17 out of 25 right, Michael and Sally,
yeah.
that's pretty good. She's got to be able to use this somehow.
I think she should trust her intuition pretty much.
I play the lottery every week and quit. I wouldn't even worry about a job, Pam. No, I'm kidding. But what do you say about this?
Sally, you're the psychologist.
This is the kind of person that we wrote this book for, because we think there are a lot of people that have this ability, natural ability. They haven't even maybe even thought it was unusual, or maybe occasionally it's been too much for you. I don't know. But either way, it's good to realize and take it as a normal ability. You'll probably find stories in the book that are much like your own experiences. It's a fine line, you know. You have to use your own, your judgment, your good, solid, critical judgment. But that's there. That's what we mostly rely upon day by day to get up in the morning and all. But mixed in with that is this intuitive side, and it sounds like you've got it and just need to pay more attention to it.
Bless you guys. I just love this show, and you are so influential in my life. I have to tell you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. How about that? You see, if you can affect one person, it's worth it. I've always said that. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, my name is Dave, and I'm calling from Hillsboro, Oregon, and I'm listening on 1190 KEX.
Well, welcome to the show, Dave, and what question might you have?
This is for Sally. Back in 1980, I had a dream one night. I was very close to my great-grandmother, and it's like I saw her in a picture, like a portrait. Have you ever seen of a person that they take portraits, and it's kind of foggy on the outside, and they show the person's face in the middle? Well, this is what I saw, and I saw my great-grandmother on her deathbed. Mm-hmm. So the next morning, I called some other relatives, and I hadn't seen my great-grandmother for several of weeks, and they told me, yeah, she's on her deathbed in the hospital, and I immediately went down there. She passed away in 1982, but I was wondering, do you think that was some sort of ESP that I was receiving?
That very well could have been. That's very typical of how I think the process operates. In this case, it sounds like you were awake, and it was a waking image, or maybe it could have been a dream.
Well, it was a dream.
It was a dream. And dreams are the most common precognitive or other experience. 60% of our ESP comes in the form of dreams. Oftentimes, people don't pay as much attention to their dreams because, of course, we have plenty of them, and they aren't all accurate of future prediction. But this one sounds like it very likely was.
Well, I thank you for your answer. And, George, you rock.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Well, when I only got 2 out of 25, I didn't think I was rocking that much. But
again, it wasn't a real test, George.
That's true. But the second round, we did okay.
You certainly did.
Let's go to our East of the Rockies line, and you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Love your show.
Well, thank you.
It's Carolyn calling from Lac La Biche, Alberta, listening to 630 Ched in Edmonton.
Lac La Biche. That's got to be French, right?
Fishing derby capital of Alberta.
Welcome.
And there's
to the
a
show.
Lot of French here, yes. I've had premonitions since probably I was about 14 that I recalled. My concern is my son, back in January, he's 16 years old. I'd walked into his room, it was Wednesday afternoon, actually, and when he looked at me with horror, and he said, as soon as he seen me, and he was wide awake, the whole room, including me, turned red. The next 2 days later, I had an ectopic pregnancy that ruptured, and I bled internally, and I almost died. Mm-hmm. And that really, really scared him. And, well, actually, it scared me, because anything I've had, it was mostly when I was in a dreamlike state. Mm-hmm. He was wide awake. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, how do I handle this with him? I mean, it's just something that still bothers him.
Mm-hmm. Sally, this is right up your alley.
Right, that's a very significant experience. Sounds like your son has inherited the ability, which is what we often find. We have a whole chapter in our book directed to children who are having ESP experiences, and even have some guides at the end of the chapter about how to deal with them and how to try to help them with that. It is frightening when it happens the first time like that, so dramatic. But I think by your listening to him and taking him seriously, not to obsess about it, you know.
No, well, I've had premonitions myself,
sure.
So I know. Like, my first one was of a car accident.
Really?
And I was sitting in the back seat of the car of a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and the car went off the road, but I was still, like, basically in a lotus position in the back seat of his car. And I didn't move, but I seen him limp, and then I seen fire. And what happened was he went off the road, and it was a foggy night, and unfortunately he was drinking and driving.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked up the hill and stepped on a live wire, and he got electrocuted. That was my first experience.
Oh, my goodness.
I did not make anything out of it until the next morning when I found out that he had died and how he had died.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of scary. So, I mean, I didn't have anybody to talk to, because basically then, like in the late 70s, basically I was told, like, oh, you're crazy, like, you know. So, but
this
I
book
mean,
is
I
written
believe him. I believe
Oh,
my
of
son.
Course you do. This book was written for people like you and your son, because I heard that comment over and over and over again, that they didn't understand. If only they'd even had a label, had a name for what this was. This is normal. Your son having a waking experience is about 30% of the cases are waking intuitions, where people just see or feel or have a hunch, and then it turns out to be true, rather dramatically in the case of your son there.
How many people do you think, Sally, are not delusional, but maybe they have a problem? I mean, maybe they're medically ill when they come up with some of these stories.
Yeah, occasionally we do, and you can almost tell from the beginning when you're talking or reading an email that somebody is taking it too seriously or has a chemical imbalance, which is, it's difficult. It's not difficult to separate the two, because in one case, the voices, let's say they're somebody's hearing, are negative ones that are trying to hurt them. Well, that doesn't sound like ESP. That may be something else. And we try to gently guide people like this to get some help, to check with a health care provider, because there can be some confusion here. Occasional brain tumors and things like that can cause people to feel they're having an ESP experience when they aren't. But basically, 9 out of 10 times, it's a normal, natural experience, and it's the real thing, and not a delusional thing.
Are there any universities doing what your father would do at Duke University, or is that era gone?
Very few in this country. Quite a few in England, of all places, and in the UK. Very few in this country anymore.
And you think those days are over?
Well, I don't know. It's more a matter of funding. And sometimes it gets graduate school programs have a course here or there, but a regular, ordinary, straightforward laboratory at a university setting is pretty rare. We're hoping that someday that will change, and we'd like to be part of that change, but it's too soon to tell.
George, could I, yes. We can't end this night without a good 9/11 premonition case.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sure.
She was talking about, you know, premonitions and things like that. And one of the most interesting ones in the book was 2 weeks before 9/11, a woman named Marie and her husband were touring D.C., Washington, D.C., and they thought they wanted to see the Pentagon while they were there, but they got too busy and things like that, and they skipped it. And so as they were driving home on that, I guess there's a ring road around D.C., they were driving home, and the husband said to the wife, you know, we're going to go around the corner here, and you're going to be able to see the Pentagon off at a distance. And so she was pretty eager to see that. And when they turned the corner, she looked over and she saw coming out of the Pentagon billows and billows of black smoke and fire. And she yelled, she screamed, her husband slammed on the brakes. She was hyperventilating. Her husband didn't know, you know, whether she screamed because, you know, he was going to hit somebody or something, but no, and she explained what it was, and she looked again, and everything was okay, but she said that, you know, even though she had had minor ESP before, it had never been like this, because she sort of felt like she was physically falling into this fire and smoke of the Pentagon.
Jeez.
And for a while, she was afraid she was losing her mind, like the woman that you know, just called in.
She was
worried about it. But 2 weeks later, Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon, killed 184 people, and if you look at those pictures, there's tons of black smoke just pouring out of the Pentagon exactly as she had seen it. It was a pretty dramatic case.
It was. Of course, something hit the Pentagon. There are some who don't believe a plane did, but that's
true.
Another show all by itself, Michael.
That's true.
I wonder if we could remote view a number of people, and I wonder if that's possible. Can you get like 10 solid experts out there? I mean, are they around, and then begin to probe what might have happened? And would you come up with anything accurate? Is that possible?
You know, theoretically, it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, the person asked on that is probably Joe McMonagle or the IRVA people. I think it's possible.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Dan from Arden, North Carolina.
Hi, Dan. Go ahead, sir.
Sally's territory.
As a young lad of 11, I had a dream that I've always wondered if you would have anything else that was close to this. I woke up hysterical. I dreamed that I had a compound fracture. I experienced it like I was actually there doing it. Mm-hmm. I saw a car coming, a orange Volkswagen. It ended up having a paramedic in it who was coming off duty from the hospital. I saw his name tag, Mr. Carlson.
Wow.
6 months later, after waking up being told this is a bad dream, not to worry about it, I had the actual experience.
Mm-hmm.
I had the compound fracture.
Wow.
My friend with me was so scared. We were in the middle of nowhere. And I could feel, at the moment that I experienced it, myself in bed when I was having the accident. And when I was in bed, I could feel myself having the accident.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the entire thing like it was a rerun. I told my friend who was there everything that was about to happen. And I woke up, and it was like for that one moment, those two events were interconnected. Is this something you've ever heard of before?
Absolutely.
Dan, absolutely.
It's remarkable, but
you've
it's very, very true.
You've got to take a look at this
true.
Book. Mm-hmm. It has several like that.
Yep, absolutely. It's a very striking one, and I really hope you'll mail it to me at sally@rhine.org. Write this down. This is a very striking experience, but it's not uncommon. It's happened before. You're not alone.
Believe me. It's,
mm-hmm.
Let's go to another wild card line. Welcome to the program. Where are you?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Well, hi there. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Kim. I just had a little story to relay, and I have these sorts of experiences a lot, so I was just going to tell you my scariest one. I'll try and make it brief. It's kind of a long story. I was in a grocery store one day. I saw a guy. We kind of exchanged glances, and I thought, wow, that guy's really cute. And then I thought, you know, there's something that bothers me about his eyes. Something that isn't right. So I kept walking, and I went home, and I called my friend who worked for another store of the same chain, and I said, hey, I saw this guy there. She said, I know him. I'll set you up with him. So she set me up with him. Through the course of dating, every time I'd meet his eyes, I got this horrible feeling. So I started kind of thinking about it because it started weighing on my mind. And I kept getting this idea that he's killed somebody. And I said, well, that's crazy. Don't think that. And I told my friend after a while, because it still just wouldn't stop bothering me. And she told me the same thing. You're crazy. He's a nice guy. He's a great guy, you know. Don't worry about it. Well, I couldn't not worry about it. So eventually I told her, I said, I'm gonna break up with him. And I don't want you to tell him where I live, because I'm moving. It was kind of convenient. I was moving at the time. So I'm going to move, not tell him where I went. And I'm going to feed him a big line, and so that, because I'm kind of scared. And so just go along with it all. And she still said, well, you're crazy, but whatever. So I did all that. They stayed friends for a long time. Probably 5-6 months later, she called me up on the phone and said, well, you know, he and I have been hanging out a lot. Well, we were hanging out the other night, and we got into a big, long discussion, and he told me that he killed someone in self-defense, but never went to jail for it because of the self-defense.
Wow.
Yeah. Scared
now,
me.
Now I'm beginning to wonder if it was even self-defense.
I wondered that, too.
Good question, George.
Yeah. So would you feel that that's sort of an ESP thing, or just an intuition, or a good guess, or...
Remarkably like the one that Mike told earlier about with the serial killer. So
yeah, I that's what made me think of it.
Absolutely, similar kind of thing.
Sounds, I mean, you'll never know, but certainly I think what the Cynthia in Connecticut decided was, you know, I think I'm going to trust my intuition.
Mm-hmm. You have to. Well, we can't take any more calls because the clock has got us, but Michael and Sally, thank you so much for being on the program. And when's the next book going to come out? We'll get you back on.
I'm not sure when, George, but it'll take us a while to write it. But thanks so much for having us on. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Mike, let me make an intuition prediction. This could be a best-selling book, The Gift. How about that for a prediction?
Boy, I hope you're right, George. Thanks so much.
All right, you take care, both of you. Appreciate it. Good people. Good story, too, by the way. ESP, something that has always fascinated me since I was a kid. Don't forget... tomorrow's program on Coast to Coast will be a friend of the late Father Malachi Martin. Make sure you're part of that program. And then Friday the 13th, it's open lines. Who knows what to expect on that night? For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.